without facts. The decision cannot be made logically. You must rely on your human intuition.
Let me ask you a question. You're Roman Catholic.
Sure.
So you pray to Mary?
Sometimes.
Can she understand your prayers?
I believe so.
Why do you believe that?
Because the church says, so I believe it.
Oh, so you just believe whatever the church tells you.
Some of your stuff is good. That particular part isn't.
What I told you is good. What's bad is you don't believe God's word. That's what's bad. But what I've found is that people very often will put a veneer of philosophy over reality, and they want to see reality the way they want to see reality. Let me ask you, can people go to heaven without Jesus?
Yes.
Well, that makes you an unbeliever. You don't believe the word of God. It means you don't believe what Jesus says.
Your opinion, and that's good.
Well, that's not what my opinion is. It's what the Bible says.
Okay.
So the word of God is wrong. So he chooses to believe what he wants over the word of God. So you don't accept the Bible then, do you?
You don't accept that particular part of it.
No. Oh, so now you're the judge of God's word. Okay. Wake the neighbors, get the word out. Hey everybody, how you doing? Faith and Reason time. I am your host, Matt Slick, once again, and it is a nice Friday here in the Boise, Idaho area, and it is August 19th for the podcasters. If you are interested in participating in the show, and if you want to call, all you got to do is dial the toll-free number, 877-207-2276, and we can get you on the air. If you want to get in via Skype, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason with no spaces in the Skype, and you can get right in. We can port you in, not a problem. We have people doing that from England, Australia, etc., and we talk. Now, folks, I will be teaching a Bible study tonight. Now, tonight, again, is Friday the 18th, 19th, that is, August, and if you want to participate, all you got to do is go out there, the freeway, get out to Nampa, and get off on exit 36, and you just go north about 3/4 of a mile on the left-hand side is the Crossing Church, and we'll be there at 7:30 tonight. And I got a split promptly at 9:30. We usually kind of go a little bit longer, but I have to leave at 9:30 promptly. But what we do there is the first half hour or so, we go over basic Christian theology. We just kind of go back and forth discussing things, and then we get to the Word, and we discuss that, and that's it. It's usually pretty good. And if you like to stay the full hour or two, whatever, you're welcome to. Some people come a little bit late and leave early, which is fine. But what we're interested in is just teaching the Word of God. And if you want to come, feel free. We just move chairs around in a semicircle in the back of the church, and we sit down, goof around a little bit. We have a good time, and we talk. And let the Word guide us. That's what we do. So again, if you want to call, folks, 877-207-2276, and Skype, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason. Faith and Reason with no spaces, and we can get you in. Let's get to Bob from New York. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. I've got a question and a comment first.
Okay.
I believe that the cults and heresies and all that are dangerous because there is some element of truth in them, even though they wind up twisting and distorting it.
Right.
And also that when atheists make complaints about Christians, there's some merit. There's some things we're doing wrong, we admit, some of us do. But their complaints about us and the Bible are distorted and poorly thought out. And I read about a Christian college student that got a hold of the God delusion, lost his faith, and committed suicide.
Oh, geez.
So building all that up, you'd said that it's good for Christians and people who want to be apologists, especially to go to like the Kingdom Hall and to see just what goes on. But should they be going there if they're new Christians?
No.
Or should they be reading God Delusion, that kind of stuff?
No.
What kind of a basis, or what's the risk that they'll fall away if they jump in too soon?
Well, you know, there's always a risk, but the thing is, you know, I tell people who call the show, and generally those who call the show here are listening to apologetics, a little more advanced stuff, and so they're generally more able and ready to defend the faith. Now, I have said over the show before, if you're a brand new Christian, you know, don't get mixed up in stuff like this. Study the Word of God. Study what the basics are. Learn what it is so that you can then develop your skills later on and start becoming evangelistic. because it's like a newborn babe. You know, you need to be protected and nurtured. But once you're able to stand on your own, get out there and start moving and grooving. And so that's what I tell people. I would not say to a newbie, hey, go to the Kingdom Hall and see what they, no. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you say it for the record because I want to put this on my weblog. And
I do recommend Christians go. Christians who call me up, you know, they're interested in stuff. They've been Christians for a while, and they'll say, "Hey, should I do this? Should I do it?" Well, hey, you know, go check it out. It's not going to hurt you. But a brand new Christian, no, I wouldn't recommend it for a brand new Christian. They get confused.
I was talking with somebody on Twitter who had said, wow, I didn't know that atheists were so vicious and they're so full of anger and hate.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, okay, it's best for you not to try to engage them. You got to get yourself grounded first.
Right. Get grounded. Know what the faith is. There are, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be on the press mobile here, but, you know, I was watching the news and watching how the liberal media is slamming conservatives, seeing how they're portraying on purpose, you know, that woman Bachman, portraying her in the worst possible light, the spin, the propaganda of the left, the rise of homosexuality, and how it is becoming a pervasive judgment. If you don't approve of homosexuality, you're a narrow-minded bigot. We've got government leaders who are in bed with ungodly movements and special interest groups, doing all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be doing in government. Schools are becoming battlegrounds for morality. The homosexual agenda is being taught. Pedophilia is now being brought up to the forefront, renamed as to, what was it? I forgot. I just read about this today. Renamed. They're trying to get a moral neutral term instead of pedophilia, trying to get it redefined and get it out into the area being discussed. You know, these kinds of things are some of the stuff I have to deal with on a weekly basis. And I deal with atheists almost on a daily basis. And what you said in that they're aggressive, they're vitriolic, they're full of hatred, it is true. Now, not every single atheist is like that, but the great majority of them are vile God haters. And they'll say, well, we don't hate God because we don't believe in God. No, you hate God. And what they're doing is working hard against the Christian church, working hard against Christians. The Mormons are trying their best to take over the web. They actually have an agenda inside the Mormon church organization to try and get their people to be on the top of the search engines and major area they can and all kind of topics. Muslims are moving in. I mean, I could just give you depressing thing after depressing thing. And the fact is that the Christians are getting our butts kicked and we're getting our clocks cleaned. And what Christians more and more are doing is retreating to anti-intellectualism and over-emotionalism in the churches. We can't fight, I can, but most Christians cannot fight in the intellectual realm. They're untrained. Pastors are not teaching them. They really don't have the skill set to do it or the time to do it. Elders are, half the time, are just liberal in churches, promoting women pastors and elders, promoting, well, homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle, not uplifting the Word of God and digging deep into the Word of God and preaching and teaching from the pulpit. Christocentric, Christ-centered, gospel-centered, cross-centered, issues of truth that need to be taught. And I think too many of them are afraid they might lose people out the door because they might take a message or speak a message that might be too difficult for them to hear. We Christians are in a lot of trouble. Atheism is only one of the areas of the battlefront where most Christians get their clocks clean. They don't know how to fight. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. New believers in the faith need to be guarded. Like new children will be guarded. Christians need to come alongside the new believers, and they need to nurture them, to tell them what the truth is, to tell them what to watch out for. We need to be doing this in the church and making disciples, and then turn them into warriors for the faith. And we can do it. I know how to do it. But I'll tell you, most Christians, what they want are mamby-pamby theological crap sermons that make them feel good. Instead of getting out there and realizing we've got to pick up the cross, like Jesus said, and follow him, head into the world. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be bloody sometimes, but we got to get off our tails, and we got to get busy. And that's what needs to be said from the pulpits all across this country. And then the liberal denominations will explode with members as those who don't want to hear the truth and don't want to hear the gospel of change and the gospel of responsibility will go find churches with teachers that will tickle their ears. And then
the Reverend Dr. Feelgood.
The Reverend Dr. Feelgood and E.R. Tickler can do tag team preaching from the pulpit and teach what people want to hear. Yeah, sorry, but this has been on my mind a lot, and I'm trying to say it on the radio too much. I don't want to be, the depressing dude, but I'm telling you, people just don't realize what's happening out there. Christians are burying their heads in the theological sand. They're just closing themselves off to the reality of what's going on there. We better start fighting back, or we're going to be outlawed. The faith is going to be maligned even more. We got to do it. Anyway, go ahead.
I've been trying to encourage people on one of my weblogs that we need to know what and why we believe and how to present it. And I'm encouraging people to read Tactics by Greg Kokel about how to present the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's very readable. And I just got one that you started it, and you are echoing the guy. It's called the Christian Combat Manual. I can't recommend it yet. Mm-hmm. But he is upset with Christian anti-intellectualism and how that we're getting our butts kicked. Wow, you guys are singing together.
Yeah, there's others I've been hearing about lately who are also, like Watchmen, who're saying, look, you've got to prepare. We've got to do it. People do not realize how serious it is here in America. And what's happening? The Bible prophesies a great apostasy. The apostasy is going to come because Christians aren't studying the Word, and it's because they're going to these crap churches that are preaching crap theology. Stuff like women can be pastors and elders. That weakens the strength of the church structure. It undermines the authority structure that the Word of God has set up in the church and in the home. They're teaching stuff like, as I said before, homosexuality. Well, let's just not fight in that front. Abortion is a woman's choice. The Word of God is mostly inspired. God may or may not know the future exhaustively. Things like this. When I go hear sermons, and I'm going to be careful. I don't want pastors who are hearing me to, be offended. But I'm telling you, I go to churches, different churches, and I hear sermons that are about a quarter inch deep. I mean, come on. Now, my wife has made a comment that we'll go to various places, we'll hear sermons, and she's bored. My wife is bored. She doesn't do what I do, but she's bored. My kids are bored. I have friends who have trouble finding a decent church because they're sick and tired of weak stuff being taught from the pulpit. And when pastors don't speak and preach with truth, what they do is gather people to themselves who don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the hard parts of Scripture. They don't want to hear it. And more I keep saying I want to start a church, not because I feel like I'm a great preacher. I'm certainly not. But I just wish I could get to a place and get a bunch of people who come together on Sunday and a Wednesday night, whatever it is, and I teach them. And teach them the truth. And I equip men to teach as well. And teach them how to teach. So that we can start expanding. Teach them what the Word of God really says. But the problem with a church like that is I'd have 10 people in it and it would never grow anywhere. Because people don't want to hear what I got to say. They don't want to hear the full counsel of God's Word. How many sermons? Anybody listening out there in radio land? How many sermons have you heard in the past year about pick up your cross and follow Christ? And where did he go? He was called a drunkard and a glutton by the religious leaders. He was called that because apparently he was hanging out with them. We gotta fight. We gotta fight. And we're not doing it. I am. I'm getting tired. You know, and there are others who are doing it. The watchmen. The watchmen are those people in the Old Testament who would stand up on the city walls and warn the people when the enemy was coming. Now, it depends. The people inside the city, do they want to hear? Or are they so comfortable? Are they so stinking comfortable in their air-conditioned, heated homes and air-conditioned, heated cars with auto everything that they don't want to make any waves and they're fine the way they are because they go to a church if they go. They go to Bible study. It doesn't teach anything. It teaches you how to be nice, teaches you how to be okay, teaches you moralism. And moralism is creeping across this land from the pulpits. Let me explain what that is to people who might be listening. Moralism is crap theology. It's crap preaching. Let me tell you what it is. I'll illustrate it oversimplified. But a moralistic sermon is sinful. It's horrible. It does a disservice to the body of Christ and does not bring glory and honor to God. A moralistic sermon would be something like this. We need to obey the Ten Commandments. And maybe the pastor might get up and say, we need to love our neighbors. Okay? Maybe he's going to talk about loving our neighbors. He might talk about doing mission work. He might talk about helping the poor. He might talk about being honest with people, loving your neighbors. He might talk about all kinds of stuff. He might say, we should help our neighbors because God likes that. Because the Bible tells us to. And we should be kind to our neighbors, go mow their lawns. And the congregation will hear that and say, amen, praise God, and go help their neighbor mow a lawn. On a human level, that sounds good. On the divine, it's useless. And this is why. The reason we are to love our neighbors is because of the blood that has been shed on that wooden cross 2,000 years ago by God in flesh. Because of what Jesus, who's God in flesh, did, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24, became sin in our behalf, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin so that we would be able to bring glory to God, as what our purpose is, Isaiah 43:7 says, that we bring glory to God, and in so doing, we love our neighbors as a response to the cross, a response to the shed blood of Christ, a response to the grace found in the cross. That's why we go out and love our neighbors. That's why we go out and help people. That's why we are to be good. The sermons that we need to preach in the pulpits need to be sermons that could not be preached in a kingdom hall and could not be transferred and preached in a Mormon chapel. The sermons that we preach must be doctrinally sufficient that the Christian Scientist would reject it, that the Muslim would reject it, that the Muslim would, excuse me, that the Mormon would reject it, that the Kingdom Hall person would reject it because it doesn't fit their erring theology. But too many pastors are preaching sermons where you could just take, he could walk straight across the street, go to a Kingdom Hall, go to a Mormon ward, and preach the same message without a single word changed, and the cultists would say, amen. And when that happens, it's because people are not preaching the truth in the depth of the Word of God. We're not preaching about praying to Christ, about coming to Him alone because He's God in flesh. That wipes out the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because we're justified by grace through faith alone without works. That wipes out the Roman Catholics, wipes out the Mormons. But the sermons that are being taught are mealy-mouthed, mamby-pamby sermons that only deaden the hearts and the ears and the minds of the people, and it makes them accustomed to hearing weak stuff being taught so that they get used to it.
Like an inoculation.
Yes.
My father was a United Methodist pastor, and 25 years ago he was preaching stuff out of Helen McGinnis and Travis McGee novels, and the Christian Science organist didn't mind, so it's fitting in with what you said.
Yeah, heresy abounds, and when I talk like this, Oh, I offend people. I offend them. I offend pastors and elders. Well, you know what? Stop crying like a little baby. Take your diapers, go change them. Get in the Word, get on your knees, repent. Preach Christ-centered, cross-centered messages and equip the people that God has put under your charge and provide a way for them to know what the faith is and to learn how to defend it, how to live it in their families, how to live it in their work, and how to do what is necessary. As the Bible says, the pastor and the teacher are given for the equipping of the body of Christ, not for babysitting.
We've got armor sitting in the corner, rusting, Ephesians 6.
Yeah, rusting, right.
I wanted to throw out one quick positive note on my experience that the more I've delved into apologetics and learned there, the more I learned about just basic logic. Read up on fallacies, for crying out loud. You can see these antagonists who come after you. Like, hey, I don't have to be intimidated by these atheists. They talk big, but you find out they don't have logic, and then we've got the facts. My faith grows stronger the more I've learned.
That's right. That's right. That's what happens. You actually become very confident. And it also affects every area of your life. You become confident in the Word. You become able to witness. I mean, yesterday I was wearing a shirt saying, ask me your toughest question about God and the Bible. You know, I mean, I'm going to go out tonight. I'm going to put another shirt on like that tonight as I go out to a restaurant tonight. I mean, try and witness. But anyway, this is... anyway, hey, Bob, man, we got callers waiting.
I get you alarmed when I call because somehow I push your buttons?
Yeah, you do. But it's not because you push my buttons. It's because you're doing the same thing and you're out there fighting the fight as well. And as an apologist, you know, we're kind of in tune with each other. And I get sick and tired of the churches that just... They're just not equipping the body of Christ. The church is not a place where the unbeliever is supposed to come in because they feel so comfortable in the church. You make everything so nice. That's not what the Bible says the church is for. The church is for the equipping of the body, for training them up. That's what it's for. The Bible says so. I wish pastors would stop trying to be popular. Stop trying to grow their church. I wish they'd stop it. And I wish what they would do is say to hell with everything else and open up that Bible and proclaim it from the pulpit. And if everybody leaves, praise God. They have to go out and get a job scrubbing toilets while they're preaching, then praise God. But that's the kind of person, that's the kind of man we need in the pulpit. And we don't have enough of them. They're out
called
there.
To be faithful and leave the results to God.
That's what we're called to do. Preach the Word. Let God expand the church. And if you have to go to a method or some seminar to learn how to expand the church, then you're doing something based upon man's wisdom and not the truth of God. Never do you find anything like that in the Scriptures except preach the Word, Christ crucified. Focus on God. Preach Jesus in every passage and call the believer to grow in his faith and his relationship with Christ. And let God expand the church, because the word church is ecclesia, the called out ones. God has chosen us. Ecclesia comes from the Greek eklegomai, to call out. We are the called ones. God expands the church, not our plans, not our seminars, not our tricks, not our techniques. God does. And when people would start learning what the Bible actually teaches about church expansion, maybe then they might do what's biblical. That's what they need. All right. I'm pushing against the tide, though. Nobody cares. Well, you do. Okay. I'm going to go eat some worms. You know, woe is me. I'm going to go eat some worms. I'm whining. I had no idea I was going to talk about this. I wasn't even thinking about this. It just, there it goes. It comes out. Thanks a lot, Bob. All right, man.
Well, thank you, and God bless you and your ministry.
By God's grace, that's what I need. By his grace, may he bless. For his glory, Isaiah 43:7. Okay? God bless, buddy.
Goodbye.
Okay, we'll see you. Hey, folks, if you want to call, 877-207-2276. And if you want to get in via Skype, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason with no spaces in Skype, and we can get you in. Oh, you know, I'm almost tempted to say, hey, everybody, I hope you don't like what I'm saying. Turn the channel. I don't care. I mean, it's like, you know, I just want to preach the word. I just want to say what Jesus says. I just want to what the word says. And I don't care if you don't like it. That's what I feel like. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I die, I just want to face God. I want him to say, well done. And whatever I do in the strength of my own flesh, I just want it to burn and go away. I don't want to judge my success by how big my website is, how popular my radio show is, or how big of a church I might preach in. Those are all human measurements. And may they all burn with my sin. I just want to preach Christ. And those whom God has given ears to hear, may they be motivated to preach and teach his word according to what God wants. That's my goal. That's what I want. Well, callers are dropping like flies. I'll have to get to V from Meridian. V, welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. I was just listening in, and as funny as I thought several times, I wish you would start up a church. So I bet you more than 10 people would show.
Maybe 11.
And I bet pretty funny that the calls are just dropping off. Well, that goes to show you. But I wanted to encourage you on that thought because the thought's crossed my mind many times that I wish you would do that.
Well, so, if I had a place and people who wanted and they made me do it and threatened me, maybe I'd do it.
Well, God will put that together. I think you should put that to prayer, and I'm definitely going to keep praying about it because I think it's a really good idea. I think it's inspired.
Well, I don't know. I don't. The funny thing is, half the time I don't feel led to do it. I mean, I'm so busy. My ministry is calm. The only way I would think of doing it is if there were men. I mean, women too. You know, men have got to kind of stand up and be willing to pay the price.
Right.
You know, and I'd want to disciple them. If I were to ever start a church, you know, Sunday morning preaching, wherever it goes, I want them to arrange things. I want them to make the calls. I want them to make things work, and I could be set free to preach and teach.
It's
the way I would like it to be, so that I could be set free to preach and teach in prayer, and then teach a Bible study also, and have them be motivated as well to start teaching their own families. I'd want to come over to their house, see how things are going. I'd want to have them, train them on how to teach Bible studies, and then I start going to their Bible studies and giving them feedback. Yeah. You know,
that's the way it was designed. Yeah,
that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's why they decided to put bishops in, so that the head of the church could resign himself to prayer and teaching the word. And I just think that, you know, like you were saying, you know, God will build the church. If it's really meant for this to happen, I believe God will totally put this into effect. But I say, you know, again, just pray about it and put your feelers out, because I really think it's a good idea. And I would definitely show up.
Yeah, I had to have a building, had to have a place, had to have people and the whole bit. And, you know, anyway. Had to be from God.
Well, yeah, I bet you I could drag a few people, too. More than 10.
Yeah, and I'd want them to tithe, too. I'd be expecting them to tithe. And
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny how people don't want to do that?
Yeah, it's a tithe.
I've met a lot of people, and they just think that's like some kind of, well, you know, if it's God's will, then it'll happen. And I'm definitely going to lift you up in prayer for that. And I just want to thank you for your ministry, because what I hear you saying is absolutely true, and I agree with you. And it really does bother me, like you're saying about a lot of these churches that have women pastors. I mean, I know that women are supposed to serve God in certain ways, but the Bible is very clear about that. And anyone that has a problem with that, it has a pride issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pride issue and nothing more. I mean, it's because Jesus Christ was the first women liberator. If I can tell anything, he's the first one that lifted women up off of, you know, being lower than cattle. So I just, you know, I just wanted to encourage you and tell you to keep fighting. Don't get weary. Just keep fighting the good fight because you're doing a mighty work.
Well, by God's grace. August, by God's grace, that's it. And but I got to tell you, though, I get discouraged, not so much because of the battle. I'm made for this kind of a thing. It's, I could tell you history. I mean, I just thrive in it. It's what I'm called to do. But I feel like a doomsdayer half the time. You know, I'm always bringing the negative. And that's not what people want to hear. And I don't want to discourage people. I want to encourage them. But, you know, it's... We can do it. The Christian church doesn't realize the power that is in the Christian faith. And I just want people to become equipped and abled and enabled. I'd like to be able to sit down, have everything taken care of, where I could just write books and start teaching seminars. What I really would like to do is start teaching people how to do this stuff, how to teach. I'd love to teach people how to.
Yeah.
You know, I wish we had, I'm just rambling now, it's a Friday here, but and I wish I had a couple of gopher people that would just arrange things. Like, I'd like to do a cruise, part because, hey, I get a vacation, but also because it'd be great to be able to have a place where I could just go teach people that do that, or, you know, get a place out in Denver, middle of the country, where I could teach for a few days. I'm thinking about doing an apologetics conference here in the Boise area. People fly in and I'll teach them. I want people to follow me around with a video camera when I'm teaching, and then they go edit and they put things together for teaching purposes. I don't have the time to do all of this stuff. So.
Right. Well, I just admonish the other listeners to lift this up, everything that Matt's saying. If we lift this up in prayer, if this is God's will, God's going to enable this to happen. And I know that God wants these things happening. And it would be really great because we've got so many movements out here. This, I call it the blah church movement, the Warren guy. Just all these different things where the word is getting diluted. The churches are just nothing. They're of no effect. There's just a nice little place everybody can go on the weekends to make themselves feel righteous. And they don't... They're not growing in Christ. They're not glorifying God throughout the week. They're just going through the motions. And so we really need people to be stepping up and doing something about this. And what you're saying is righteous. And so, like I said, I just charge all the listeners right now to lift this up in prayer and participate, you know, and in the ways that God leads us to do it. And right now, all I can do is pray, but... I definitely think that there's something to this, and you're not just, you know, speaking negativity. You're speaking truth and righteousness, and that's why people are coming against it. So when people are coming against you, the more they come against you, the more you should be encouraged, because that's what the Word says is going to happen. The truth is going to be rejected, and since we are obviously and most clearly in the end times, it's going to get fought against really hard, and it's not going to be pretty, but I just want you to be encouraged, and I pray for you and your family to be blessed and in every way, because you guys are definitely where you should be.
Yeah.
I really thank you.
Yeah, well, we're trying, you know. You got to hand it to my wife, too. My wife doesn't get much kudos about this, because...
because people ignore the fact that they don't realize when they see the husband doing so much, they forget that behind every good man is a very good woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for her taste in men, she's pretty good. But, you know, a lot of people...
Poor gear. She can't be perfect.
She's not, but that's her flaw. But, you know...
That must be her only flaw.
You know, years ago when I was doing CARM early on and working, and this is to my fault, it wasn't good. I spent way too much time doing it, and my family suffered. And I'll admit that. But and she spoke to me about it, and we tried to make adjustments, and you know, but at any rate, so I blew it in a lot of areas. Not that's just because I'm so hardcore about all of this kind of stuff. But she married me believing we would never own a home because I wanted to go into ministry. And she, you know, it's important for most women to have a home and to raise children. And she knew, because she knew I didn't have hardly any money. I wanted to go into ministry. I was in college, you know, wanted to go into seminary at the time, and we probably would never have a home. And she chose to marry me and sign up for that. And ministry almost broke our marriage up. In fact, we would have gotten divorced if it hadn't been for us being dedicated Christians. I really was sick of her, and she was sick of me. And why? Because I had more sin than she did in it. I was really blowing it in some areas.
Well,
you know,
also, but you're doing what you're also, because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, so the enemy's going to attack you in any way he can. And what's the favorite?
Marriage.
What's his favorite place to attack? Mm-hmm. You know, is he hates marriage, he hates the family, and he wants to destroy anything. So if he can plant seeds of division between the two of you, he'll use anything he can use.
He did.
And
he
especially,
did.
You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's one of the biggest challenges pastors have is being able to balance the time with the church and time for their family. I hear over and over again, pastors' kids, you know, are very resentful and actually turn away from the faith because of that very thing. But,
yeah, I'm all too familiar with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, my wife really deserves a lot of credit. She has stood by me through thick and thin. And, you know, now things are going well. I'm able to stay at home and work. And she's helping out Carm. And we're able to bless people because of all this. So, you know, she deserves the kudos as well. She's...
Amen.
You know, except for Taysom Men, she's a great woman. And so, you know, she's a good woman. And
Amen.
I like to say she's hot looking, too.
God bless her.
Yeah.
And I am the one that called, I say, back in July, I think it was, early July, about Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of people showing up here now and then talking to me about how I'm not saved and how I'm going to hell because I wasn't baptized for the remission of sin. I was baptized. I was saved and baptized, mm-hmm. and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. But they absolutely believe that Jesus is not God in the flesh, and that essentially they say in spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the one in spirit. That they are one entity. And so I was just like, well, I'm not going to argue with you, but I definitely don't agree.
Well, let's just say the Church of Christ is a church I would openly tell people to avoid. Absolutely avoid it. Seriously.
Me too.
Yeah, it's legalistic. You can lose your salvation.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's bad news. Requiring baptism for salvation, it's just it's heretical.
Yeah, and he said something about you're not going to church every Sunday, you're going to hell. And I was like, well, what if I was sick or out of town? I mean, there's just, you know.
Is this person local?
You can go to a church. It doesn't have to be that same church. You know, if you're going to a real church, you know, not just any building whatsoever. But I just believe that God knows your heart, and that it sounded totally legalistic to me.
Let me ask you, is this guy local?
Yeah.
Tell him to come into my radio show. Tell him, hey.
I was thinking about it.
No,
I'm
serious.
Phone number. I was gonna, talk to you about that. Yeah, I want to give him your phone number and tell him, hey, call this guy.
I would love to have him on my show. Get him here in the studio if he's local, and he and I can just go at it. We can go over the Word of God, and we'll see. You don't get any representative from the Church of Christ. Come on. Come into the station. Come on the show. You can have mic time with me, and we can just go at it about, is baptism necessary for salvation? But are they going
to
do that?
I'm going to encourage him to do that. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm definitely going to call him and encourage him to do that, and just hopefully he does do that, because the guy seems so sincere, and I just really hate to see people being misled. And he made a little slip, and he mentioned to me that he was raised in the Church of Christ, and then he had gone away from it and then went back to it, which was something I was going to bring up the next time they popped in, because every time I would say something about the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of the King James Bible, he would say, well, who told you that? I'm like, well, I read it in the Bible. Yeah. And he's like telling me that I'm getting these definitions of what it's saying, and the applications were all wrong. And then it's like, well, there's only one interpretation of the word. And then they're telling me, oh, well, any fool can understand the Bible and read it. And then as they're leaving, I was brought up in the book of Revelations how Jesus Christ is literally, you know, called the first, he who was, who is, and
right.
and is to come. Right. And they're like, oh, well, don't read that. You won't understand it. I'm like, okay, so I'm less than a fool because a fool can understand it. So what are you saying here? Like, wow. It's like they say anybody can understand the Bible, but then when you talk about the Bible, they just keep telling you that you don't understand it. So it's
right.
like, wow.
Always tell them
That's
to
bad.
Go to the Word. That's right. Well,
right.
I appreciate it.
Well, I told them, you know, if you pray and you ask the Lord for discernment and you're sincerely searching out and seeking God and His true interpretation, you know, and you're not trying to, you know, put your own opinion in there.
Right.
I really believe God's going to interpret that for you. You know, there's some stuff, you know, because I love the King James, and I'm just kind of set on that. So it was really difficult for me when I first started reading the Bible. I arguing with God, I'm like, I don't understand why you had to put all this thee thou stuff in there. But it's really blessed me, and
right.
it's caused me to search harder and
well, good.
To
okay.
really, to
okay.
really. Go into the Word. So
that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
I'll definitely encourage him to call you because I'd love to hear that. Mm-hmm. I really would because this guy really, he really believes, sincerely believes it, and it breaks my heart because it's a real nice fella. And I'm sure he's totally
yeah, well,
has
have
my
him
best
call me.
At heart,
have
but
him.
He's just, he's brainwashed.
Yeah, he is. Have him call me if you can, and or, you know, come on the show, whatever, and we'll see what happens. It'd be great. I think it'd be a very good discussion. Okay?
I think it'll be wonderful.
Okay.
Well, God bless you, and you have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. God bless.
Thank you.
All Bye-bye. Right. Well, folks, if you want to call, 877-207-2276. It's toll-free anywhere in the country. And if you want to get in via Skype, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason, and we can get in. Now, I'm torn between, let's see, doing hate mail or an article about pedophilia. There's a movement now to get pedophilia removed as a mental disorder. And that's the logical progression of the homosexual agenda. I've been warning people about it, and so you could do that, or I could do hate mail. You know, I've done hate mail. I'm going to do hate mail. I just feel like hate mail today. So, I don't know. Let's see. Okay, here's my hate mail. Now, for those of you who don't know, see, I'm a hardcore preacher teacher. Got a nice website called carm.org, C-A-R-M. .org. And I don't pull punches, you know. Hey, this is what the truth is. You don't like it, not my problem. And so I get a lot of hate mail. I don't mind hate mail. It doesn't bother me. I enjoy it. And so Fridays have kind of become the hate mail day. And I'm going to just see if I can read some here. Let's see. Now, here's one. This is from Mr. Big. He says, I'm full of, and I can't repeat the word over the air. And he says, I looked over your writings on Pastor Murray and the Shepherd's Chapel. Now, folks, look, I'm going to say something about this. You've got to understand, you become like the one you follow. That's it. Now, if someone calls me up and they're full of hatred and they're talking about a certain preacher or teacher, they're learning hatred from that preacher or teacher. They become like the one they're following. Now, I can pretty much tell within one or two sentences when a critic of what I teach and do is a follower of the Shepherd's Chapel movement. And it's pretty obvious this guy is. He says, I looked over your writings, obviously, you know, from Pastor Murray and Shepherd's Chapel. You seem to do the things you criticize the Shepherd's Chapel for. I never seen any of your documentation. Well, dude, it's all over the section, man. You know, the guy didn't even do any of his homework. Obviously, what he did was he read one or two things and ignored the documentation and says, I don't have any documentation. Anyway, he goes on. Just you ranting on your website. My grandpa used to say, you can dunk a in honey, but it's still a whatever it is. Okay. The same cam be said of your views. You say you this, that, other, like the Kenite you are. Now, folks, a Kenite in that group is an unsaved evil person. So he's calling me a Kenite. You see, Kenites are the descendants, according to the Shepherd Chapel, wacko teaching, where that Satan had sexual relations with Eve to produce Cain, and the descendants of Cain are called Kenites. So he's calling me a Kenite, okay? If we could flush all the down out of the web, you'd be one of them. Your so-called gun threat audio. I have an audio there of him, the guy with a gun threatening somebody. Anyway, is false. I've heard, H-E-R-D. I've heard it a number of times, and as of yet, I have heard no threat to anyone. You, sir, are a fountain of misinformation. That wasn't bad. That's kind of a nice warm-up one. You know, I got to say, though, sadly, the quality of the insults is decreasing. It's not that good anymore. I've been getting, I really got some good ones for a while, but they're just not that good anymore. Here's an example of one that's not very good. You want to put a complete work of the writings of the early church fathers, try this site. Yours has so many cut-ups, it's not even worth reading. Are you afraid of what they have to say? Sure looks that way. Then he gives a website. No, I'm slowly, I'm doing everything on the website, slowly putting the church fathers' complete works up on the website. Not complete, it's huge amount of stuff, but I take a lot of what they have and I've been putting it up. I haven't done it for like 6 months, but I got a lot of stuff up. It's just the whole thing. There it is. Everything they say, you know, that's the goal. Let's put a whole bunch more stuff up. I've got this file and I have to take this file and copy it into a document, strip out bad codes and arrange everything, put it up. It takes a lot of work. I'm not afraid of anything. Anyway, these guys just say that. Okay, that wasn't that good. That was not that big a deal when that was from Robert. Let's see. Move this over here in this category. Hate mail read on the radio. I'd move it. Okay, here's another one. This is a long one. It's not just arguing about a text. Let's try this one. I'll debate. Oh, I think I read this one before, but it's so good that I'll read it again. I didn't put it in my... I don't know if I read it before on the radio. Here it goes. I'll debate you on a level playing field anytime, you gutless coward. Now, that's good. That is quality hate mail. There's more, okay? But I like it when people call me names like gutless coward, which is, makes it problematic if it's true how I could digest food, but hey, that's okay. You know, you just eat it, goes, you know, it's right. There's gut, no gut, so I wouldn't be able to gain any weight. I'm a gutless coward. What does that mean, you know? Hey, you're a coward. You have no gut. You mean I'm like svelte and I have a six-pack? No, you don't have any guts, like intestines. Really? I don't have any... Don't have any intestines? That's right, because that's what gutless coward means. Okay. Let me just go on with this thing. Start a thread at Carm between you and I on any Bible story book topic you like, including the man-made Trinity ideology, without you editing or modifying or deleting or censoring my posts, and we'll see how you fare. Laugh out loud. That's pretty good. You know, it's nice, challenging. And, I didn't do it because I don't do written debates anymore. Because I've done written debates. One of them, I kept through with it. I kept doing it. Ended up to be 26,000 words. Because, you know, I'll say something and then they'll ignore what I said. Hey, come back. Your point wasn't made. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And so people, they've challenged me. I'll do written debates with you. And it just doesn't really work. I like big formal debates, or just go back on the radio and catch you in your errors right away. Anyway, he goes on. If you refuse then let your readers at CARM know I challenged you and you declined, fearing your further shame and embarrassment. In your realization, you cannot legitimately sustain your claims anywhere, especially not in a fair and open level playing field. Okay, so this is what this guy wants me to do. What he wants me to do, What he wants me to do is he wants me to, if I don't take him up on his debate offer, written debate, what he wants me to do is to post on my discussion boards that I declined because I was afraid I would be facing further shame and embarrassment. Look, that's what he says. Look at this. This is like moronic stuff. If you refuse, then let your readers at CARM know I challenge you and you declined, fearing your further shame. So what he wants me to do is put up a post on the discussion boards at CARM saying, I can't debate him because I'm fearing further shame and embarrassment. This is what he wants me to do. This is the kind of mentality that he is revealing. This is really great stuff, you see, because it's not like maybe you don't have time, maybe you're working 50 hours a week and you don't want to add something else. You know, you got radio, Bible study, got to fly next week to New York and teach 7 topics for about 8 hours total. So maybe it's like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, it's about 10 hours of talk I got to prep for. Jeez, you're killing me. Anyway, you know, and these people, they'll write stuff like this. I want you to write, when you don't agree with me, I want you to put on your own discussion boards that you fear shame and embarrassment because I realize I cannot legitimately sustain my claims. What's this guy? I mean, it's so stupid. It's like, it's so moronic for people to say that. I want you to put on your website that you're afraid you can't handle it. So don't forget to put that up. That's why you won't debate me. What a jerk. Okay, hey, I'll do what you want. I'll put it up on my own website. I fear shame and embarrassment, which is why I won't debate you. Oh, okay, look at this. He says, he goes on, anytime soon would be great, you proven fraud, coward, and pretend storybook Jesus believer. Now, would anybody expect me to be able to really have a truly serious, rational discussion with someone like that? I mean, I could say something, make a perfectly logical point, and get called names, and then say, I'm done talking to you. You're not gonna have a rational discussion. See, you're a coward. This is the kind of mental sandpaper people want me to deal with. I mean, they just scratch up everything. Then it's not smooth talking. They don't know what they're doing. They're moronic. I'm serious, folks. I get stuff like this all the time. You know, these veiled, empty, moronic, illogical accusations. Oh, well. Let's see. What was it? This is earlier part of that same one. This is good. He says this. I thrashed and easily, hold on a sec here. I don't know if you guys are enjoying the hate mail. Hey, in the chat room, you guys enjoying the hate mail? I don't know if anybody's enjoying the hate mail. You should call up and say, yay, hate mail. And then she can take a note and you can call up and say, how many like hate mail? And she can, you know, just put a little paper with a check mark if you like it. You know, because I don't know. Should I do that? I'll keep going. 877-207-2276. We've got like 4 minutes left in the show. Let me continue with this guy's hate mail. I thrashed and easily, successfully exposed your false ideology and was banned for it. As you can't sustain your claims legitimately, you ban those that dare expose your fraudulent Trinitarian BS religion. Okay. Yeah, that's why we ban people, because we can't refute them. That's why we ban them. Right. Uh-huh. We've got people all over the discussion boards who don't agree with us. And if you don't abide by the rules, you get banned. That's it. This guy breaks rules, and he's just, you know, he's a rule breaker. He goes on, I am still, however, receiving notifications of the lies and BS still being posted by your incestuous friends. Now, seriously, that's good. Incestuous friends. We're not talking just friends. We're not talking heretical friends. We're not talking stupid friends. We're not talking about moronic friends. We're talking about incestuous friends. So now my friends are incestuous. This guy wants me to debate him, but he drags my friends into it and calls them incestuous. Yeah. I read this one more than once. I have. This is a great one, though. It is. It's one of my. Usually I move them out of this category and then I put them in another folder. I'm liking it. You've always been a disgrace and a fraud, Matthew Slick, and a yellow-bellied, gutless coward that runs an incestuous site of lies. That is good stuff. Look, folks, I'm going to use this as a standard. I should take this one and write an article and say, this is the kind of hate mail that I expect from the critics. If you want to hate mail, you can do hate mail, that's what you need to do. Do it like that. Here's another one. I got on your website and I cry in my hands when I read about your false doctrine. See, you are the ones in bondage, not me. I am free in Jesus Christ who died for the world. Check your Bible, please. Freedom is when we really learn to know our loving Father's heart. Do yourself a favor and start praying nonstop that the Holy Spirit will show you in the Bible what the gospel is all about. Yeah, I read this one too. Maybe I'm not moving these things around. Let's see. Here's this one. Let's see. Okay. Absolutely, yes, I do condemn your hypocrisy. You have publicly on your blog condemned my beliefs and expressed your attitude to we, the American Christians, as shown by your attitude. You are the one condemning your beliefs by pretending your ideas are the word of your Jesus. 3 seconds? 30 seconds. 30 seconds left? Oh, this is going to be good because it's got a lot of caps. When they write in caps, you got to yell. I won't yell too loud on the radio. Hey, folks, I'm out of here. Look, it's Friday, and I'm teaching a Bible study tonight in Nampa if you want to come. Today is Friday, the 19th of August. If you want to go, feel free. All you got to do is go out the freeway out there and get off on exit 36 out there in Nampa. Go north, 3/4 of a mile. On the left-hand side is the Crossing Church. So exit 36. 6 times 6 is 36. Go north, 3/4 of a mile, left-hand side, the Crossing Church. 7:30 will be there by God's grace. We'll see ya. Be there, be square, Candace says. All right, we'll see ya. God bless everybody. Bye.
Has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.